The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Usech Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month we will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. Our guest today is Liz Shirley. Let me tell you about this woman. Liz Shirley is the executive director of the Eastern Carolinas for Muscular Dystrophy Association. She has been with MDA, that's how it's known, for 7 years. In 2010, she graduated High Point University with a bachelor's in communication and a concentration in journalism. She had no idea what she wanted to do after college, only that she wanted to move to a larger city. Liz often visited her uncle in D.C. and was extremely intrigued by all the culture and influences found there. She began her first adult job in D.C. as the marketing coordinator for the American Board for Certification of Teacher Excellence, a nonprofit organization. Her journey into the nonprofit sector began with this job, and she realized how much she loved working in this arena. When working for a nonprofit, you are an advocate for a cause, and you start your work every day seeing firsthand the progress you are making in helping others. It is said that some people are nonprofit lifers. Liz believes she fits that role. A few years after working at the American Board, Liz was hired for a new position as the outreach coordinator at Cancer Support Community. Her work was critical as she worked directly alongside the Live Strong organization, implementing the Cancer Transitions Program. In 2013, Liz sought a change. She visited her sister's family in Wilmington, North Carolina, and loved the beach ambiance. Liz began her tenure with MDA in March 2013 as a fundraising coordinator in Wilmington, which has become home to her. She met her husband Chris there and grew into a career she loves. While MDA is a national nonprofit, each office works very locally in their prospective communities. There is a reason why they call people that are registered with MDA our MDA families. MDA wants to invest in their relationships and get to know the people personally that they are servicing and helping. MDA families are some of the most courageous, charismatic folks Liz has ever met. Great strides have been made in recent years, focusing efforts on research and clinical trials, especially at MDA's care centers at Duke and UNC Chapel Hill. The amazing progress that has been made is very encouraging. While MDA still strives to find a cure, Liz is honored to know and fight for those living with the muscle disease and who are living longer and more dynamic lives with the help of MDA. Liz and her husband, Chris, live with their black cat kids, Archie 6 and Boo 5. She grew up as a dog person, but when she wanted to get her own pet, she thought about cats, never thinking she would be one of those crazy cat ladies. Liz studies French history. Her favorite place is the Palace of Versailles. So welcome to Community Connections. We are so pleased to have such a dedicated and passionate woman with us today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I am super excited about this. I've always wanted to be on the radio, so now I can cross that off my bucket list.
Okay. Please share with our audience some of the history of MDA from its inception, pardon me, in 1950.
So this year actually marks our 70th year anniversary. I know a great year to reach that milestone. And we're super excited to say we are the largest funder of neuromuscular disease research outside the federal government. Since 1950, we have invested more than $1 billion in research. And we, over the course of the past couple of years, have really accelerated that in the development of therapies and hopefully eventually cures for the 43 muscle diseases that we cover. We do that very strongly with a hearts and mindset of we want to help out our local families. I highly encourage everybody to help us propel that even further by going to mda.org and making a donation in the increment of your choice. Your support goes directly towards your neighbor living with muscle disease in your community, helps supply our care centers with staff. And not only that, we're really big on emotional and mental health too. So your support will also help us further our support groups for our families and also our caregivers, and allows us to keep on doing our Facebook Live events and, of course, our virtual learning webinars for specific diseases that we cover.
So how did it get started? Was there a little boy that needed some help and a fire department?
Yes. So that goes to our Fill the Boots program in conjunction with firefighters. 1950s, nobody really heard of neuromuscular disease. It still is a rare disease, so not too many people even nowadays understand or know what that means. So it did start with a little boy, and he had a relationship with a firefighter, and the firefighter was really invested in getting the word out, which really started the Fill the Boot program that we have.
Okay. So I imagine that many of our listeners are aware of the telethons that began in 1950 and mm-hmm. how it evolved with Martin and Lewis. Jerry yes. Lewis became the main host. And here's a little futuristic question. Tell us about the telethons mm-hmm. and tell us, is it true that the telethon is back for the kids?
Well, I'm very excited to say we are, in fact, reimagining the MDA telethon, and it's going to be happening in October. It's still a work in progress at this point. So I don't have as much information, but I do know that we are having it in October, and we're super excited about it. And as soon as I get more information, I would love to share it with you guys. But we are just so grateful that we're able to do this, especially in the climate that's going on right now. And of course, Jerry Lewis is such a tradition, and the telethon is such a tradition for us. So we're excited to reinvent it this year.
So I remember watching it with my children, and I mentioned it to my son today, and he said, yeah, I remember. Look at us, we're walking. Look at us, we're talking. So that telethon certainly had a great influence on audiences and people who are a little bit older now and still remember it. So how did Jerry come to be the one?
Well, he knew somebody basically that had a form of muscle disease, and they approached him and said, hey, you know, out of the kindness of your heart, can you do this big show for us? And I think originally it was supposed to be just a one-time thing, and then he kept doing it, and it kept growing and growing and growing. And as we grew our programs like the Fill the Boot program and incorporated the firefighters and incorporated the community that were also raising funds. So it was one big party, and I think he just wanted to keep propelling it further. And to this day, people still reference MDA as Jerry's kids. So that's still very a big deal for us.
Okay. All right. So in your bio, in the introduction, you mentioned the MDA families. Can you speak about them? Because I had the feeling that they work locally in their own communities, and it sounds to me like they contribute like puzzle pieces and round out the work of the whole of MDA.
They are at the heart of our mission. I mean, they are the reason why we do what we do. One good thing that I love about our families is that not only are they going to our care centers, but they also become their own best advocates through working with us. I do remember one of our younger adults, you know, came to me. She's like, when I was first diagnosed, I had no idea how to communicate my diagnosis. Didn't know how to talk to my family and friends about how I was feeling. Didn't know how to tell them, you know, I'm having a bad day. I didn't know how to tell my story. And she told me last year that through working with MDA and talking more about it, she feels so much more comfortable sharing it with her family and friends. And not only that, she actually shares in the community to strangers. And through her advocacy and through MDA has really made her more comfortable in her own skin. So I feel like MDA, yes, they're the back, our MDA families are the backbone of this. We actually have another MDA family, a mother who basically told me, you know, my son got diagnosed with Becker's. He's 6 years old. She wants to be the reason why they find a cure. And her way of doing that for the past couple of years has been raising funds on Facebook, doing raffles, doing interviews. And I am shocked and amazed to say just this year alone, she raised $20,000 for Becker's research. And it's through her passion and her drive to find that cure that shows her true dedication to MDA.
I'd like to pose another question to you about when people are diagnosed. Is this mostly a child's disease, or does this erupt somehow when people are a little older, maybe teenager or a young adult?
So that's a great question. I think sometimes people don't realize the extent of muscular dystrophy. So MDA is basically one large umbrella of muscle diseases. We actually cover 43 different types, and they're all different. So for instance, Duchenne muscular dystrophy primarily happens in little boys, and they get diagnosed when they're young. As a doctor notices that they're tripping more than they should, they have a lot of muscle weakness. So that particular disease gets diagnosed at an early stage. And then you have on the opposite spectrum, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which is probably the most well-known form of muscle disease that primarily gets diagnosed at the later stage in life. So it depends on the disease itself, which is why it's so critical to get awareness out there, because it's just not one demographic. It's several demographics that we cover.
Is there a particular test for muscular dystrophy?
So that's a great question as well. It does depend on the disease. So with Duchenne, they do basically narrow it down. With SMA, it's a different type. They kind of narrow it down as well. The only one that doesn't really have a test and that we're hopeful for eventually is ALS. That's basically a diagnosis. They've crossed out everything else. It's not Parkinson's. It's not a heart defect. After they cross everything else, then they diagnose ALS. So that's really the only one that we don't really have a strong test for right now.
It's usually done with an EMG.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a great answer to these two questions. So let me say this here now. Over the years with the technology, there was the creation of the MDA newsletter. And I believe it's called Quest. So here, Liz, are my signature three-part questions. Who formed it? What is its main content? And I understand there are occasional articles about ALS, which you already mentioned is another of the neuromuscular diseases. So tell us a little bit about how this newsletter was formed and what people can get out of it by reading it.
Great. So MDA Quest magazine was implemented by MDA to help patients and families in the neuromuscular community stay connected and stay informed. It's a great newsletter that shares up-to-date research, up-to-date care center information, up-to-date resources that our families could and might need. And it also is a great way for us to, for our families to share stories. We do have a larger young adult population now, and so several of them will write blogs and stories in that newsletter. So it's a peer-to-peer exchange as well as a great way to get more information about up-to-date information with muscle disease.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. There are lots of young people who write poetry, and that's a great way to get your feelings out, because you can never be wrong about your feelings. So I'm wondering if anybody writes some poetry for that Quest newsletter.
That's funny you said that. One of our MDA families here locally actually submitted kind of a poetry type article about dating, being, you know, in a chair, in a power wheelchair, and dating, and what that feels like. And it was really interesting to see, and they got some really great responses from their peers and from the MDA community. because it was a different aspect. You know, you weren't expecting to see that in a Quest magazine, but, you know, we just love sharing that type of information with our young adults.
I'm really glad to hear that. I do a little writing myself, so when I hear that people are making use of the tool of writing, it warms my heart because
right.
I know firsthand how important it is to be able to express without fear, and just the blank page becomes your friend.
And it's very therapeutic to our families. You know, I think a lot of our families feel alone because it is a rare disease, and so oftentimes they don't think anybody understands how they're feeling. And so being able to write that down, knowing that somebody reading it can relate to it in some capacity, I think is really impactful for them.
Very good of your editors to include that.
Mm-hmm.
So you said a couple of times that MDA is a rare disease. Can you tell our audience what that means, a rare disease?
So a lot of our diseases are very small population, and we do cover 43. But if you take a look at one of those 43, maybe only 100 in the whole country have them. And so that's why it's a smaller population of folks, meaning sometimes they get overlooked or they're not understood by the community. So for instance, in North Carolina, we have about 3,000 families registered with us. So we are trying to get their voices to be heard, even though there are only 3,000 of them, if that makes sense.
It makes sense to me. So a rare disease really is kind of based on the amount of people that suffer it.
Right.
And so, therefore, if it's a smaller amount, they don't get the attention that cancer gets, say, because you see a lot of that on TV. But
right.
You don't...
Or even like MS, multiple sclerosis, a lot of our families get mistaken for having MS in the community because that is more well known.
Yes.
And so it's kind of changing that narrative to say, no, it's a different form, and folks are surviving it and dealing with it on a daily basis right next door to you.
Yeah. Okay. This is really good information for people who are not aware of what MDA is. So I'd also like to ask you, you've also used the word passion a number of times this morning, and most of our guests also refer to that word passion. How does passion impact you in relation to your work as executive director?
I think working in a nonprofit, you have to have passion of some sort. That is the reason why I've stayed in the nonprofit world. I do have a marketing and sales background, and I like the fact that in my role, I'm using that skill set to make a difference. I can see on a daily basis what I'm doing is impacting somebody's life. For instance, we have a little boy who was doing a clinical trial for Duchenne's at Duke, and his mom would send me pictures of him in his face mask getting an infusion for the clinical trial. And just last month, we got notified that that drug that he was a part of the clinical trial of just got approved by the FDA. And his mom just started crying, and we were FaceTiming, and just knowing that I had some hand in that propels me forward.
Yeah.
Knowing that I have a little piece of that pie of ensuring that somebody who's in a power wheelchair or who is struggling, that I am making an impact on them. I think without that, without having that purpose, that if you don't have that, you're not doing something right. And MDA feels that it's kind of role for me. Our families are some, like I said before in the intro, they're some of the most courageous and charismatic people I've ever met. And I'm just honored that I can say I'm working alongside them.
That's great. That's great. You also mentioned the care centers at Duke and Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. If you could explain to our audience what takes place there and how that benefits kids.
And sure.
What's the ratio of adults now? How is the lifelong situation impacting people with MD? MSDA, muscular dystrophy? I'm sorry.
So it really depends on the disease itself. Some of our diseases are terminal, like Duchenne. We're thankfully, due to the drugs, like I just mentioned, Duchenne, somebody with Duchenne now has a life expectancy of late 20s versus when I started MDA, they had a life expectancy of 18 to 20. Mm-hmm. So we are making progress and having their lives be stronger and longer and thriving. And then you have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which is also terminal, that we are working to find a cure and to find some way around that. But our care centers, we actually have 5 in North Carolina, and our care centers are essentially what we call our clinics. And it's so necessary for our families, because if you have a form of neuromuscular disease, you have to see a lot of doctors, including cardiologists, neurologists. You have to go to physical therapy. So if you didn't go to one of our care centers, you would have to see a lot of different doctors and go to a lot of different appointments, which can be difficult for a caregiver or for a person that has mobility issues. So when you go to our care centers, it's more like a one-stop shop. So if you go to Duke, that day you're seeing every doctor imaginable that's top-notch and the most knowledgeable about muscle disease in your community. So it's, it's really impactful for our families because they don't have to make 20 different appointments and they can see everybody at one time and everybody talks to one another. So our families really enjoy it. They're really close with our doctors. Our doctors actually will come out to our fundraising events and, take pictures with the families. So it's more, we are essentially all like one big major family. But our care centers are very crucial. We did have to pivot due to COVID. We are doing currently telehealth for our families, but our families are still enjoying the care center benefits.
Okay, I think you mentioned 5 centers.
Right.
Can you say where they are located? What cities?
Sure. So we have UNC and Duke. Wake Forest has one, and then we also have 2 in Charlotte.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Your answers are really wonderful because they contain a lot of good information. So I understand that you have something called Fill the Boot. Mm-hmm. How did that come about and how is it helping?
So Fill the Boot is our partnership with firefighters. Firefighters are one of our strongest supporters. It's a tradition amongst firefighters to do this. It started back in... this year actually marks our 66th year anniversary of working with them. It initially started in partnership with the International Association of Firefighters, which is the, or IAFF, which is the Firefighter Union. Although here in North Carolina, we do have fire departments not affiliated with the union that also do the Fill the Boot program. But essentially, firefighters decided to bring awareness to the community about muscle disease. And pre-COVID, as I like to say at this point, pre-COVID, our firefighters would go in intersections and stand in front of storefronts and ask the community to fill their boots with cash and coin to benefit MDA. And they are in their full-on gear. They have their fire boots, usually a fire truck, and the kids love it. And it's been really a great partnership throughout the years. And we've really helped to not only raise a lot of funds through that program, but like I said before, awareness. You know, a firefighter will tell them why they're out there and hopefully has people thinking, oh, I wonder what muscle disease is. Like I mentioned before with other things, we did have to pivot this year due to COVID. And we're actually currently doing a virtual Fill the Boot program throughout the state of North Carolina. And several of our fire departments who traditionally go out on the streets to fill the boot are actually doing it online and sharing on social media. And I would love it if you guys had a chance to take a look at mda.org/FTB. That's a great way to see what fire departments are going out to filling the boots and helping in any way possible.
So that's a great way to raise funds. And I imagine exciting for some kids. Do they ever take a little boy who wants to be a firefighter and take him for a ride in the fire truck?
Oh, yes. They love that. We actually have a little boy. He, every time, his mom will call me, when is this fire department going out? Ben wants to go see the firefighters, and they'll put a little hat on him and turn on the sirens. And it's just so cute because they also have a close relationship with that family then. So yeah, it's adorable. Our kids see those firefighters as heroes, and the fact that the heroes are standing up for them means the world to them.
That's great. It's kind of like a make-a-wish come right. true with it. Yeah.
It's okay. an experience that they love. And usually a lot of our firefighters go to our NDA summer camp too. So the firefighters will bring their fire trucks, and they're actually – there's Sparky, who's a Dalmatian, will come. So it's a very well-rounded relationship.
So we just have a few more minutes left, and I know that there's a summer camp program. And I'm sure that it was impacted by COVID, as so many things were. But do you hope to resume that situation as soon as we get a vaccine?
So our NBA summer camp is personally one of our favorite services from my side of things that we provide to our families. It usually is a week-long summer camp program at Victory Junction for our North Carolina families at no cost to them. We did have to adapt it due to safety reasons this year, and we implemented a virtual summer camp program that happened throughout the summer, and our local kids got to interact virtually with one another. They had cooking classes, virtual escape rooms, scavenger hunts. So we still had a program suiting the climate right now, but we are definitely looking forward to 2021. I know our kids are. They have pen pals, and they just love seeing their camp counselors. So we are looking forward to 2021.
So we have just a minute left. So if you could just repeat the website and the phone number for anybody who needs help.
For more information, please go to mda.org. That's a great way to learn about our care centers, the services we provide, and how you can get involved. If somebody would like more information about resources or anything like that, please email resourcecenter@ndausa.org. We have some great local resources to provide folks in need.
Okay. Well, I have to say, Liz, that you have been a most charming and extremely informative guest. I want to thank you so much for being with us today and wish you and all the families the best of luck in finding the cure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we've run out of time for this month's episode of Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm Sonia Usach Kuhn with the North Carolina Reading Service. Community Connections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.